And now, Prophecy Q&A with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung and Jimmy DeYoung Jr.
Thank you, Jay Johnson. This is Jimmy DeYoung Jr., and welcome to Prophecy Q&A Live. I'm in my studios in San Antonio again this week, and it looks like winter is on its way. It's going to be cold. That cold weather is coming across. I'm not your weatherman, so I'm not sure where you're listening to this from. But we do know that as we look at the weather that's coming, we know that it's going to get cooler here in the United States. And Thanksgiving next week, next Thursday, coming into play. And, of course, Christmas is on its way. Hey, we are running a special at Prophecy Today. Just got to go to our website, take a look at it, go to our bookstore. I know that we are going to be running some Christmas specials for those people that are followers of our ministry. Anybody, actually, can go. I mean, everybody has a deal at Christmas time. Let me just say this. You know, this is our ministry. We live it. Dad and Mom are on the road 50 weekends out of the year. They've been doing this since the mid-90s. They actually moved to Israel in 1991, and we have been very involved in teaching prophecy, being involved in the land of Israel with the body of believers, Jewish and Gentile believers in Israel, who once they accept Christ as their personal Savior, they become Christians. And so we've been involved with them, helping the churches there. Dad helped Menno Kalashir, who was a longtime friend of mine. When I lived all the way back there, Dad helped Menno start a church right after the Gulf War started. They started as a Bible study. And when Mom and Dad moved there, slowly they got a church started. Menno is the pastor there, an unbelievable pastor. His early days with Friends of Israel, still a missionary with Friends of Israel in Jerusalem to the Jews. And great story of his lineage in the faith, his dad coming to know the Lord. Of course, his name was Svi Kalashir. His brothers and the rest of the family are all involved in ministry. His brothers have actually, one of his other brothers is a pastor of another church in Jerusalem. And they are very close together, work very good together. And, you know, we've had this many years of working relationship with Menno and his wife Anat and their family. And, you know, so we've had this background involved in ministry and teaching Bible prophecy, helping people understand Bible prophecy all these years. And this is our passion. This is our life. We have, I do this full time. My job, I know Dad's on the road. A lot of people see him on TV and his videos and conferences. My job is I produce all those documentaries that he's on. I've worked on the television programs that he's on when he's on TV. I teach now what he teaches. We both do conferences all over. My brother's involved in it. My two sisters are involved. I've got nephews. We have other people that also work in our ministry, people that if you're in contact with our office in Chattanooga, you know these folks, James and Sarah. Of course, Chad works with us and designing. We have people that are with our School of Prophets ministry, our online education program. And when I say School of Prophets, we're not teaching people how to be prophets. We're teaching people how to study and teach Bible prophecy. And the study of the end times, eschatology. And so that's what our online education program is about. We're involved in that. And so as I first started out by telling you, I was hoping that, this Christmas holiday, if you want to give a gift that can keep on giving, and you encourage people to pass it on, go to our Prophecy Today bookstore, take a look at what we might have. I'm encouraging people to buy DVDs or audio series for their pastors and for their church libraries that other people can take advantage of listening to the teachings that we have produced and have put together. That's there. You can go to our website, take a look at that. And I just, from time to time, I like to take a look at our website to help people understand where we are, what's happening. in the future as far as in our ministry. you could go, you could take a look at our schedule where we are going to be, both Dad and I, as we are on the road teaching and be and in our conferences and the things that we do, our trips to Israel. We do two trips a year. Those are the ones that we have booked. Now, we do other trips that we work with other churches and private tours, VIP tours. You know, we just did a VIP tour. We took a group of people over, and this is something you might want to think about. Now, we do have the big trips, and you can take those with Joshua Travel. And Dad and myself are on those trips, and we're there. But those are, you know, those are big buses and lots of people. But sometimes we do VIP trips where we'll, you know, if you have a family, you have a group of friends, say there's four couples, you and three other couples would like to go to Israel, and you want to an in-depth study on location. You don't like the big groups, the big, you know, the big mass of people that travel around from place to place. You want more in-depth study. You want more in-depth time of conversation and studying God's word and talking about things. You can get in touch with us about doing a VIP tour to Israel, and we would love to help you put that together. And again, this is not about, I mean, yes, it's about this helps our ministry, but this is about helping to educate you and helping to so that you can pass on that information. If you look at our website, a lot of our website, prophecytoday.com, is designed for that reason. It's to help you to become educated about Bible prophecy and the things that are yet to happen and God's big game plan, so to speak. From his word, this is to help you to be able to pass that on to other people, whether it be your family, whether it be churches, Sunday schools, Wednesday night services, however you want to do it. In fact, we have a program that's called PASS. We call it PASS, P-A-S-S, the Prophetic Army of Senior Saints, an acronym that Dad developed in wanting to teach senior saints. That really, in a lot of churches, a lot of people are pushing the senior saints to the side, or they have their little, you know, you stay in your little area and teach, and that, you know, or just listen and don't be a part of our, you know, we're developing churches, and we do. We need to develop churches to reach young married couples. But senior saints still have a role, and they can be very active in the church and their community. And we want them to be. We want them to pass on this information, to be able to take it and teach others. And so we have put together a program, very easy to understand, as they go through Bible prophecy and understanding Bible prophecy, how to study it, the basic principles for Bible prophecy, and then, you know, going through the three main books, Daniel, Ezekiel, and Revelation. Those are the books that that we go through, and to help you, those are the three main books. One more book, Zechariah, is added to those apocalyptic books of the Bible. Those are the three main ones. Of course, there are other smaller, minor prophets, and we study those too. All this information is available on our website. We take a look at the top 10 news stories every day. The weekend radio program that we do, the interviews, and man, these interviews are so good. Interviewing Dave Dolan, Ken Timmerman, Itamar Marcus, who helps us keep an eye on the Palestinian situation and what's taking place there. Rabbi Yoel Kirin, who is not a believer, he's a Jewish rabbi, but he has some great information about what's taking place in the city of Jerusalem, as far as, for instance, with the temple, the rebuilding of the temple in the city of Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, what's going on there. We need to be aware of those things and what's taking place so that we can understand. The rapture is an imminent event. It's the next event to happen on God's calendar. We understand all of that, and we study it, and that's how we live our lives, expecting that shout, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God sounding, and we be caught up into the air as the bride of Christ to meet our bridegroom. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That could happen at any moment. Knowing that and expecting it to happen at any moment really helps us to live our life every single moment of the day, pure, prepared, and productive. And that's what we need to be about. And that's why we study Bible prophecy. That's the whole reason for studying Bible prophecy. Well, understanding that and understanding the things that are happening around the world and how they pertain to future events that are going to unfold in Bible prophecy helps us to be prepared. Little gauge that we have letting us know, that little gas gauge in your car. You know, when that gas gauge gets over to the E and then it starts resting on the E and below the E, you know it's time to get gas. Well, folks, we're looking at the gas gauge of God's Word, that gauge that He's given us, so that we can understand the times in which we're living. And we are living, that gauge is now way past the point of the return of Christ. The rapture of the church could take place at any moment. So knowing that and understanding that, that's why we keep our eyes on what's happening around the world, so that it helps you to be prepared, and it helps us to be prepared. It helps us to stay the course. You know, this is not easy. I know that there are a lot of huge ministries out there, but a lot of people don't want to hear this message of the end times and the events and what's going to take place. Because you know what? It really brings us back to why we are living on this earth, why God has us here. And some of us don't like to hear that. I mean, you know, let's be real. A lot of people, they're tired of hearing about Bible prophecy. They don't want to study it anymore. There's so many views out there. How can you really know what's going on? How can, you know, you've got this guy has this view, this person has this view. I don't agree with this person. We don't agree with that one. You know, and so people basically are tired of Bible prophecy. Huh? You know, they don't know how to make it relevant in their life today. Well, as we study Bible prophecy and we're teaching this, we're hoping that this will help you to understand where you are and practically how do you use this in your life to be prepared for that imminent return, that imminent rapture, I should say. The rapture takes place, a 7-year period of time, and then the return of Christ to the earth. And so, but Christ is going to go into the clouds in the heavenlies, and He's going to shout in the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God is going to sound, and we're going to be caught up in the air immediately in the twinkling of an eye, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says. That's fast. It's going to happen. And that's why we live every single moment of the day becoming more and more Christ-like. Yeah, there are reasons we live that way. First of all, that's what Christ exhorted us. He gave us that prime example. Actually, as He was teaching His Jewish disciples in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, He was teaching them how to live. We can understand how we are to live our lives on this earth. And then those disciples that went on and wrote letters to the churches and groups of people and admonishing them and how to be better followers of Christ, imitators of Christ, to be better Christians. We receive the benefit of those letters so that we can be better prepared and better, better prepared to meet our bridegroom as we go into the heavenlies. The very first thing that we'll do and as after the rapture of the church is we'll stand before Jesus and give an account as to how we lived our life on this earth at the judgment seat of Christ. It's not the great white throne judgment. That doesn't happen until after the millennial kingdom. But the judgment seat of Christ takes place immediately as we are ushered into the throne room and stand before God and Jesus and give an account for how we lived our lives on the earth. Anyway, that's Bible prophecy. Go to our website, take a look at it, prophecytoday.com. I also have a smaller, different website, extremeprophecy.com, extreme, prophecy.com. You can go there, take a look at that. A lot of the same information. You'll follow my schedule there. There are a lot of things that I do, evangelistic outreach that I do with my brother to Israel, to Central Europe, biblical meals. We do, we don't do a Passover Seder. We do a biblical meal, which we look at what happened in the mind of Christ that evening as He observed the Seder with His disciples. And so, good place to go. If you go to prophecytoday.com, we have, you know, I'm looking at the Prophecy Today TV, the video that's there. that we did, Hebron, City of Promise. Great. Worked on that program with Dad. You've never been to Hebron, but you always hear us talking about it. David Wilder talks about it. He'll be talking about it this weekend on our Prophecy Day weekend program. But you could see, you could get an idea of what Hebron looks like, the City of Promise, and what's going on there. We took the television cameras to Hebron. We've been there several times, been into Hebron. With John Ankerberg and Israel Under Fire, and of course with Day of Discovery, Mark DeHaan, and Dad does this one. I believe he's by himself and on this program. But you can go there. We have several must-see videos that you can take a look at. Prophecy Today Premium Resource Center. You can order the latest books from Prophecy Today. Our Prophecy Today PTRN, or Prophecy Today Radio Online. I really like this because, you know, we're probably on somewhere total about 1,000 different outlets, radio outlets across the United States. And nowhere do we ever ask for funds. We don't make any pleas for funds on any of our radio programs. It does cost to keep it alive. And so, you know, if you're interested in helping our ministry, we would love for you to be a part and give a Christmas gift this year to our ministry. We're on all these outlets, and these are all the programs that we have, all the teaching series that we have. Plus, we have others. I think with J. Vernon McGee, we have Dr. John Wickham. There are other our weekend radio interviews, our Prophecy Q&A that we've done. There's so much on our Prophecy Today radio online network. So take a look at that and find out about it. This website is for your use to help you to be aware, to be good students of God's word, and that's what we want to have happen. Well, let's take a look. We've got a couple questions that have come in this week, and I'm going to try to answer these fairly quick. Why don't we get to some of those? And I apologize, folks. I know that a lot of people have sent in questions, and you want answers, and it seems like it's been forever. Well, we're so backlogged on answering people's questions. Let me encourage some of you that go to our archives, and you can start listening through the radio programs. And if you really want you need your answer quick, you can go there and search through and listen to those answers. That's a good way to get some of those back answers that we've done, because there are no real new questions coming along. These are all questions that, and I know that people just finding out about us, we were made aware of our ministry through our weekend radio programs that we do, our daily radio programs. Maybe we were on another program where Dad was interviewed or I was interviewed, and you heard that, and so you're just now aware of our ministry, and you sent in a question and it hasn't been answered. Go to our Prophecy Q&A archive section, and you'll be able to get some of the answers that you're looking for. So let's take a look at some of our questions that have come in and see if we can give an answer. I see here that Israel is called the bride of Christ. Where does today's church, the followers of Jesus, fit into the future? I've often heard that the followers of Jesus today are the bride of Christ. Could you help clarify this for me? Well, yes, good question. And that comes from our devotional that Dad did from the book of Hosea, talking about Israel becoming a part of the bride of Christ. Yes. Those people, there are three strands of the human family. For the first 2,000 years of human history, there were Gentiles on the earth. That's from Genesis 1 to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, the call of Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. He comes over. Abram is promised a nation because of his stepping out in faith and going. Abram didn't know where he was going. He just knew that God called him to go. And he steps out and goes, just starts going, and God directed him. But because of his faith in doing that, he was promised that his descendants would be as the stars in the sky. So the Abrahamic covenant, the blessing, these promises that were made to the descendants of Abraham and Abraham himself. Of course, through that, the Jewish people came, and there were three other covenants that were given, the land covenant, the Davidic covenant, and the new covenant in Jeremiah 30, 31. And so you've got all these, you've got the strand of the Jewish family that comes in. It's a second strand of people that are now on the earth. You've got Gentiles and Jews, and the Jews from, in God's word, from Genesis chapter 12 or 13, all the way to Acts chapter 2, you have two strands of the human family on the earth. Acts chapter 2, of course, we know that this is where Peter preaches a message in the city of Jerusalem, according to the commandment that Christ gave him, and to go and to that you to be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Peter preaches a message, and 3,000 Christians or 3,000 Jews come to know the Lord as their Savior, and they become Christians. This is where the Bride of Christ comes in, and the Bride of Christ is on the earth. And that's the third strand of the human family. The Bride of Christ is on the earth from Acts chapter 2 until Revelation chapter 4, which is the depiction of the rapture of the church. And so the question that has been sent in, I'm trying to see, Audrey sends us in, and she sent in a question. I would appreciate a reply. And she says, where does today's church, the followers of Jesus, fit into the future? Well, the church, those people that have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, we are a part of the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. We are there, and also Jews who come to know Jesus as their true Messiah right now, they understand that the best way and that the only way that they can get to heaven is by believing that Jesus Christ came to this earth and died on the cross, that he was the Son of God, he still is the Son of God, and that he paid the penalty that we all have of the sin in our lives. He took that all away by dying on the cross. And it's only by believing that Jesus Christ came to this earth, died on the cross, went into the grave, and rose again, and paid that price, that's the only way that we can get to heaven. It's nothing else that we have to do. We have to first believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. We have to repent from our wicked ways. Then there are things that we do afterwards, but that's the initial. And whether you're Gentile or Jew, once you do that, you become a part of the body of Christ or the bride of Christ. And you are then part of his bride. And that's where it's talking about, Audrey, that both Gentile and Jew, well, once they accept Christ as their personal Savior, they are no longer, I'm a Gentile. When I accept Christ as my personal Savior, I am no longer a Gentile. I am now a believer in Jesus Christ. I am a Christian. The same thing with Jewish people. When they accept Jesus Christ as their, as the true Messiah, as their Savior, they are no longer Jewish. They are a Christian. I was with Steve Herzig this last weekend, who's Friends of Israel. He's a Jewish man. He's the national director for Friends of Israel. He travels. We've been together many times in Israel. We've been at conferences. I was with him this last weekend, and you know what? He preaches against. Interestingly enough, he preaches against Messianic assemblies. He said, "What is a Messianic believer? What is a completed Jew?" He said, "I am a Christian. When I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I become a Christian." And Ephesians 2, where it talks about that partition has been removed and two people become one. You can only be one of those three strands of the human family. If I'm a Gentile, which is an unsaved person, lost person, when you come to know Christ as your personal Savior, you're a Christian. Same thing with a Jew. And that only happens after Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. That's the point when Christians come on the scene. I hope I'm making sense to you. But each one of those groups of people can become a part of the bride of Christ by accepting Christ as their personal Savior, and they are part of the body of Christ, and they are the bride of Christ. So that's where it's talked about. Now, at the rapture of the church, Christians are called off of this earth, those who accepted him, Jew and Gentile. And then you have, then the tribulation period starts, Revelation chapter 6, that period of the tribulation starts. It started by the Antichrist confirming a peace agreement with Israel from Daniel chapter 9. When that starts to unfold, there will not be Christians on the earth because they left at the rapture of the church. But there will be people that come to know the Lord during the tribulation period. Those are called tribulation saints, and those will be both Jews and Gentiles, because that's the only people that will be left on the earth. Again, all it takes is one question, and you can go. I mean, it just starts. You start laying out the scenario for how this is all going to take place. The two witnesses that will be preaching in the streets of Jerusalem. Those two witnesses will preach 144,000, that's 12,000 of the 12 tribes of Israel from Revelation chapter 7, will become Jewish evangelists. They will travel the earth, and they will witness to people that have never heard the gospel message. Very important. That's one of the key ingredients. Somebody that has never heard the gospel message will have an opportunity to be saved during the tribulation period. Those people that have heard the gospel message and rejected it, and the rapture takes place, they will not have another chance to accept Christ as their personal Savior. And that's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Thank you, Audrey, for sending in that question. That started a long answer, but that's the way it works. You know, that's the neat thing about Bible prophecy. And and that's one of the reasons why it takes me so long, or Dad and I, to get through some of these answers. Sometimes you can only do 4 or 5 questions a week, and that's what we're doing. Marv Fortune sends in a question. He says, do you think that the Catholic institution represents Thyatira in Revelation chapter 2? And or is a legitimate Christian institution? I don't think. Now, Marv, this is my I don't believe that the Catholic Church is a legitimate Christian institution. They go against. I think it's a part of the mother son cult that was first established in Babylon. Well, actually, it was established in Genesis 11. Nimrod and Semiramis. And they had a child. This was where the first cult started, mother-son cult started there. It did go from Babel, and it moved to Thyatira. It moved to one of the seven churches that are talked about in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Those letters that were written to the seven churches that were alive when John wrote the book, of the book of Revelation in 95 AD. And then from there, it moved and went from this mother-son cult moved from Turkey. It moved from there and went to Rome. And so I believe that the Catholic Church is part of that mother-son cult. I don't believe that it is part of any way a part of a legitimate Christian organization. Now, does this mean that there are people that follow that are everybody that follows the Catholic religion, Catholicism, that they're unsaved? I'm not saying that. Only God knows who a person is that has accepted Christ as their personal Savior. But I do know. And, a good person that you can find out a lot about the Catholic Church. I was never a part of the Catholic community. I was never brought up that way. I was brought up in a strong Christian home, Bible believing. And so, I am not an authority on the Catholic Church. I just know as I've looked and I've studied and I've listened to others speak, and I see what the Catholic Church does, that's how I come to my conclusion that the Catholic Church really is a part of this false church. I think it's and Dad and I are right now working on a documentary. We've been working on it. On Revelation chapter 17, this false church. I believe that if the Roman Church is not the Roman Catholic Church is not the false church, it's part of that infrastructure that will be used for this false church of Revelation chapter 17. And so I don't believe it's part of I don't believe it's a legitimate Christian institution. And I do believe it's a counterfeit and developed by Satan all the way back in Genesis chapter 11 is where it all started. So hopefully that helps you. Thank you, Marv, for sending in that question. And sorry it's taken so long for us to get to that question for you. But look to God's Word. See what God's Word says. And as you study it, take a look at Revelation 17. You'll see some of the things that, and I believe, you know, you asked a question about the seven churches. And I have another question. Let me see if I can get to that real quick. There's a question that comes in about the seven churches that are talked about in Revelation 2 and 3. Are those to the Jews or to the Christians? And those letters that were written to those churches, John was a circuit riding preacher at the time these are the last words of Christ to the church. There are commendations and there are condemnations. I believe those churches that were alive then when John was riding through this area of Turkey and those seven churches that are mentioned there, as John went to those seven churches and delivered the words of Christ, the last words, I believe that those are to the Christian. Now, there are that is the mentioning of the church. That's which is related to the body of Christ. Again, now we've talked about the body of Christ. Who was a part of the body of Christ? It was either Gentile or Jews that have accepted Christ as their personal Savior. So these letters were written to the Christian. The book of Revelation was written for the Christians. Ezekiel is a book that was written and gives an indication, and it was written for the Jews. First 32 chapters of the book of Ezekiel were written condemning and judgment on those on the Jewish people and the neighbors of the Jewish people, from Ezekiel 33 to Ezekiel 48. It talks about the restoration of the Jewish people and how that's going to come about. And it talks about a coming temple that's going to be in the city of Jerusalem and gives that dimensions, the dimensions for that temple and how that's all going to, that's Ezekiel's temple. The book of Daniel is the book that's written to the Gentile world, to the Gentile world powers, the vision and the dream that Daniel had, that Nebuchadnezzar had. This book is all written for the Gentile, what's going to happen to the Gentile world powers. We can understand that. In fact, we know about a coming world empire that will come about, the revived Roman Empire, and then another kingdom that's going to come after that that's going to destroy the revived Roman Empire, that's going to destroy this statue of the Gentile world powers, symbolic of the Gentile world powers that have had control over the earth, and that coming kingdom, not made by man's hands, but from God, will be the millennial kingdom. And that's when Jesus Christ will set up his kingdom on this earth and rule and reign from the city of Jerusalem. So I do believe that that the book of Revelation chapter 2 and 3, these letters to the churches, are letters that were written to churches back then, letters to the churches that have been alive throughout church history, and letters to Christians that are alive today. We can all see ourselves in each, and we can identify with one of these seven churches. There have been people, theologians throughout time, that have tried to say that this was the period of time for the Ephesus church, and this was the period of time for this, that the church was very much like Smyrna. Now, you can do that through periods of time. And I know that there are some debates for that. I personally believe that those letters that were written are types of Christians that are living today. We can relate to one of those seven churches. And there were commendations and condemnation and those letters to those seven churches by Jesus Christ. So thank you for sending in that question. Hopefully that helps you. Brother George sends in a question. He said, which is first, the rapture or Psalm 83 war? Now, the Psalm 83 war, you have to take that in conjunction. And we believe that that's the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war that takes place. Those nations mentioned in Ezekiel 38, as you take a look at those nations, as you read them, very interesting. You can go back to Genesis chapter 10 and you'll see those same names of those nations mentioned in Genesis chapter 10. They're mentioned in Ezekiel 38. And you take this this battle that's going to take place in Ezekiel 38 that comes to happen in the end times. By the way, somebody else asked a question. I'm not sure. Nancy Hollingshed sends in a question. She says, I love the devotionals, but I'm having difficulty deciphering how you come to the conclusion that five out of every six Muslims will fall according to Ezekiel 39. Well, Nancy, if you go, and again, this is the King James Version of the Bible, Ezekiel 39. So hold that thought there, Nancy, because I'm going to answer your question. But getting back to the question that came from Brother George, which comes first, the rapture or Psalm 83? Let me just say this right off the bat, Brother George. There are no prophetic events to take place before the rapture of the church. We have talked about that in the past. The only thing that has to happen is that in 2 Peter chapter 3, that God is not willing that any should perish. He's holding the gates of heaven open for people to repent and to come to him for salvation. That's the only thing that has to happen. And that's why we need to be about this process of doing evangelism. Telling others about Jesus Christ. I mean, the rapture can happen at any moment. It might not happen for another, 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, 20 years, whatever. I don't think it's going to be that long. I think it could happen today, even before I finish this program. But that's the next thing to happen on God's calendar. It's an imminent event. And again, I say that because, if we could wait until the Psalm 83 war takes place, which is talking about, basically it's talking about the Ishmaelites or the people that are the descendants of the Ishmaelites, which would be Saudi Arabia. That's where Ishmael, Hagar, and Abraham's son went. He established his kingdom down there with his 12 sons and the descendants of the Ishmaelites. And that's Psalm 83. We'll talk about that in just a second. But, if we could wait for anything to happen the next thing that had to happen was a war, we can all live whatever way we want to until that war takes place. And then, once we see it, we'll know that, okay, the rapture is going to happen now because this war took place. There are no other prophecies. There are 500 prophecies left. There are 1,000 prophecies concerning end time events, Jesus Christ coming to this earth. And there are 500 of those thousands of our 1,000 have already been fulfilled. There are 500 left to take place. Because those first 500 took place exactly as they were prophesied, it gives me the confidence to know that the remaining 500 are going to happen exactly as God's word says that they're going to happen. Knowing that, helps me to live pure and productive and prepared for the rapture of the church to take place. There are no other prophecies to happen. We are at that point where events that are going to take place are all going to happen after the rapture of the church. So we're living at that point right now where we need to be telling others about Jesus Christ. We need to be living our lives pure and prepared and productive. So the next thing to happen on God's calendar is the rapture of the church, Brother George. Psalm 83, Daniel chapter 11, and Ezekiel 38 and 39, the war between Gog and Magog, that's Ezekiel 38 and 39. That takes place after the rapture of the church. We actually believe that that's the man on a red horse from Revelation chapter 6. The man on a white horse comes in. That's the Antichrist. He's carrying a bow with no arrows, and he comes in peace. That's a false peace. He establishes this peace. He confirms a peace agreement with Israel from Daniel chapter 9. That starts the tribulation period. The next horse, man that's unleashed, the man on a red horse, he represents war, and we believe that that's the war of Ezekiel 38 and 39. Daniel chapter 11, the kings out of the north and the kings out of the south, which would be Syria and Egypt. And in Psalm 83, that would be the people of the descendants of the Ishmaelites, which would be Saudi Arabia today. That's where Ishmael went. That's where Muhammad came up with this another false religion of Islam. And that's why we believe, and I get back. So, Brother George, hopefully I answered your question there. But as I take a look at it, I'll go to Audrey's Nancy's question. And she asked about how do we come up with that 5-6 of these people that are involved in the Ezekiel 38, Daniel chapter 11, and Psalm 83 war. How do we know that 5-6 of them will be wiped away? Well, in the King James Version, it says, "And I will turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring thee up upon the mountains of Israel. And I will smite the bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thine right hand." That's the destruction of the nations from Ezekiel 38, which you combine those with Daniel chapter 11, and you combine that with Psalm 83. So hopefully that helps both Nancy and Brother George. And thank you so much for sending in your questions and for giving those to us and sending those in this week. Thank you so much for being a part of our ministry, for looking to us to answer these questions and to realize that, that we are living in the last days, to realize through through studying God's word, through a third of God's word being Bible prophecy, that if it was that important in the way that God communicates with us, that he put a third of that communication about future events, how much more important should it, if it was that important to him, how much more important should it be to us? Thank you so much for listening to us today, for being a part of our broadcast and sending in your questions. Keep sending them in. I'm sure you will. This is Jimmy DeYoung, and having studied God's word, look at the events that are taking place around the world, man. I don't know how the rapture of the church can be that much further away. Let's keep looking up until...